All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how are we doing? It's a Texans game day. And my goodness, it's been a while. It seems like it's been a year since we've been on the air, but we're all present and accounted for and back here. Nick's behind the glass. Barry and I in studio.
I mean, I was on the air yesterday, so whatever.
Oh, you're like, it's like that now, huh? Well, guess what? You don't have to worry about that anymore.
I know. So sad.
That was, I saw more emotional.
It was an emotional day. There were a lot of kind listeners that said some very kind things to.
What was that, a 10-year program that came to an end, or a 5-year, or 7-year?
Shock and I alone did Houston Game Day for over 4 years, just the two of us. In fact, we were the second longest running sports talk radio show in Houston behind the Blitz. A lot of people don't know that. That's a fun fact. But yeah, it's over. That's it. No mas.
It sucks, man.
Well, I'm not going to be upset about sleeping late on Sundays, I'll tell you that.
No, I was going to say, but...
But yeah. It does suck. I enjoy my job. I enjoy doing this show with you guys. I enjoy doing Sundays. So, yeah, that'll be missed, but, you know, things happen.
The good
this
thing
is, a crazy
is that you don't have to watch the Texans games on delay anymore. Although you might want to watch them on delay.
Yeah, it makes it easier to... Because I usually get home like 1 o'clock on Sundays, so I'm already an hour behind the game, and by the time I catch up, it's... almost, I think, the start of the fourth quarter.
Actually, might be more enjoyable that way.
I can skip. Yeah, I mean, it's Tom Savage, so I could basically just watch the defense and then, you know, fast forward past all the offensive stuff, but or the offensive stuff. Ha! What? That's a play on words.
I see what you did there.
All right.
But, man, it seems like since, was it?
Wednesday.
Wednesday was our last show.
Yeah.
There has been so much that has gone on. Besides Thanksgiving and all of that, it was like...
Steelers got a big win.
Yeah, good one.
How come we didn't open the show with the kick?
I thought you were going to.
I really thought you were going to play it.
I didn't want to rub it. I don't know how hurt Joel is coming off of Thanksgiving. And
I tried to explain it to you guys. The minute that Rodgers went down, and the first thing I did was tweet people, now you'll learn to respect how good and how spoiled you are to have Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback. I checked out because I knew... that what I was about to witness for the next half a season almost was going to be garbage football, i.e. Texans fans feel me. And I've done just that. And everybody, including – and Nick was on this morning when I walked into the production meeting of saying, Hundley did good. Well, if you consider he got the touchdown passes, but if you just look at the box score, it looks like he did good. But a couple of them were just screen passes that they broke. Or busted coverage that he just had to throw a balloon up there.
Like that one Brady touchdown that he got for throwing the ball 4 inches in front of him?
Yes. Now, I will say the final drive was impressive because I wasn't counting on that happening. But even when Barry walked into the production meeting and was expecting that I was going to be crushed and heartbroken and all you on Twitter, I hate to break it to you, but to show how much I have checked out, I didn't watch it in the man cave. There was no yelling. I was definitely multitasking. And then I forced myself in the fourth quarter to put up with the anguish of going, okay, now I'm going to have to watch the end of this, and I just know how it's going to end, and lo and behold, it did.
Here's my impression of Joel watching the game. I feel like this would have been you in the man cave. Now, I'm surprised that you said you didn't, because I know how emotional you get. Yes. But knowing that you had checked out, that makes it different. But in my mind last night, I'm watching the game, and every time something would happen, I would have this vision of you in the man cave at one point, like, no, 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 why? And then a couple of drives later, be like, yeah, yeah. Yeah, baby, Packer football's back. And then it was, no, no. How come you can't cover Antonio Brown? And then it was like, yes, yes. And then that last drive and that field goal, I could just see like, miss it, miss it, miss it, miss it. No, just like anguished. But then I thought, you would still be proud though. The way that they played one of the better teams in the NFL, I mean, I'm joking and everything, but There's no reason for Packers or Packer fans or anybody. They gave Pittsburgh all they could handle.
I didn't do any of the things that you said.
I know.
However, when I had watching in my mind, the fourth quarter, because I told everybody throughout the week, I wish they would have brought the flex games into play earlier so that this game could have been flexed out so it wouldn't be quite so embarrassing when they get hammered on national TV. And right, then it wasn't embarrassing. However, if you take away the numerous turnovers that Pittsburgh had that they normally don't make, it still wasn't. Their defense was still getting lit up. And granted, Antonio Brown is a flat-out stud, and there's a reason why he is the best receiver in football. That last catch on the last drive was absolutely sick and ridiculous.
That was insane.
Yes.
I saw that. That was
And I saw you
crazy.
Tweeted about it, and I didn't say anything about it because you were actually right. But at the same time, I was like, you know what? Yeah, you can save face with that, but still, their defense is not where it should be. And overall, a team that's like, meh.
I'm not suggesting that the Packers are headed to the Super Bowl or anything, but they played a really tough and good Pittsburgh Steelers team very well with basically one hand tied behind their back. Right. I mean, there's no shame in what they did, and it makes you wonder if they had a healthy Aaron Rodgers with keeping Cobb and Jordy Nelson involved in that offense, because you heard last night them talking about, well, this is the new ace number one receiver.
Yeah, Devontae Adams.
Yeah, and I was like, well, that's not the case if Rodgers is there, because he's keeping Jordy Nelson in the game. He's keeping Cobb in the game. Those guys are making plays for him. The problem is Hundley can't find anybody else, apparently.
Yeah, and the hope that I had, I told you guys, was Rodgers is going to come back late in the season if they could just win a couple games, and he'd still have a chance to get in, let alone maybe even win the division. And if they won that game last night, they've got Tampa Bay, Cleveland, right, and a schedule that's very advantageous to them possibly even running the table and getting to 10-6. Because Romo yesterday was saying in the NFC, if you don't go 10-6 or better, you're not getting in. And so I had that in the back of my mind. I thought, well, now they have six losses. They're going to have to run the table, which would have been a hell of a lot easier if they had won last night. But overall, I wanted them to get in, and I wanted Rodgers to be able to come sit. And by the way, pregame, he was throwing 55-yard balls.
He looked good.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, and he looked really like that collarbone was healing. So I was like, okay, all the things you guys are trying to do to bait me into coming back, I'm still not coming back full force yet, but I did watch.
I like that they were saying what he said about getting an x-ray on the collarbone. He said it doesn't matter. It's pointless, because if it shows that I'm healthy, I still can't come back.
Because of IR.
If I'm ahead of schedule, it doesn't matter. I can't come back until...
Once you're put on IR, you have to sit out that amount of time.
But if it showed that the healing process is slowed down, then that's going to be disappointing. So he's like, what's the point? I'm just going to just do this.
Yeah.
And I'm with him. I wouldn't want to know at this point. And if you find out that you're ahead of schedule and makes you work out, it makes you that much more committed. Not that he's not committed. I mean, he's a professional. He's Aaron Rodgers. You don't get to the level he's at if you're not committed to it. But I think it gives you that little bit extra.
Oh, sure.
If you know, okay, I'm ahead of schedule. That means when that date comes, which I don't know what the date is, it's late in the year.
It's week 15.
Okay, then he's going to be ready. Because
I was going to say, as opposed to like a Kawhi Leonard, where you're healing slower than schedule.
Right.
And that's depressing. Now you're like, why am I going through all this if it's not healing the way it's supposed to, or I'm not advancing the way I'm supposed to? So, yeah, I feel you. I mean, he definitely, it's nice to see all that and everything else. But the thing to me is, like, if they had a chance to be within a game or two, and again, Thanksgiving would have helped me, and I know it helped you in the picks, but, you know, Detroit hanging around the entire game. I'm like, if Detroit beats Minnesota, that brings Minnesota back to the pack. They got a shot. But I'm almost thinking now, with the way that they look, maybe just let him sit the whole year, make sure he doesn't get hurt, and then come back and go for it next year, because I don't think they're getting in.
At 5-6, they are, what, two games behind?
Two full games, yep.
The Falcons 4-6, but they would also have to leapfrog Detroit and Seattle and the Falcons.
So they've beaten Seattle head-to-head.
Right.
So Detroit, they still have a game left with them. If they could win that, then they split. Then it gets to all different kinds of technicalities,
right,
where they'd have a shot there. But they already lost to Atlanta, so that would be the key.
And that's going to be difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if they're not in it, let's say you get to week 15.
Sit him down.
Okay. That was going to be my question. Would you want to see him come out and get two games in that are meaningless and take a chance that he re-injures it, a la Tony Romo? Or do you just say, you know what, big guy?
You get 100% you go healthy
take
and
this,
make a fair
take
run
the, You've got this season that you basically get to, you know, throw away, and you've got the offseason. Come back ready to go, and let's, you know, make some moves in the offseason. I'm with you. I wouldn't play him either. Now, if I'm a if I'm tied or it's closed, then I think he has to play. But yeah, if it's no shot, then I wouldn't do it.
And here's the other thing that I keep saying. As spoiled as I keep telling Packer fans that they are to have a guy like this and have him come in right after Brett Favre, the big thing now is that window's starting to close on Aaron Rodgers. He's only won one Super Bowl. If you really want to do what's right by the franchise and you can see what it could be like when he goes away, you need to load the cupboards as much as possible for a 3 to 5 year run and say, here, let's try and be the Patriots, or let's try and get you to where you need to be so you can get some titles and some hardware too, because he's got all the individual accolades, but he's only got one Super Bowl. And every year, Ted Thompson, the general manager, says, I draft so well that we never have to worry about getting free agents. And no, it's time.
Yeah,
it's already past time.
I'm with you. Mike Mata said, I bet you Joel was watching the Green Bay game the way all of us were watching Game 5 of the World Series. Yes, no, yes, no. It was not. Just like that. It was back and forth. Oh,
I was like that for the World Series, but I wasn't for the NFL.
If they would have won, you would have come in here decked out head to toe in green and gold.
No.
Nick, would Joel be wearing all of his, he would have 9 shirts on, 4 hats, 3 pairs of Packer socks. He'd have his boxers on outside of his Packer sweat.
I don't know about all that, but I can see him do something like that.
Yeah.
My wife can attest. When I'm dialed in, when they're who they're supposed to be with Rodgers at quarterback, then I would probably wake her up and the baby up at least once or twice. But the fact that I sat and watched it in the living room while I was in the kitchen checking some things on the internet, doing some other things, there's no way. She'll attest to it in a heartbeat. I would have not even come close to that today.
Okay.
Because they still have to win games with that
guy at
quarterback.
You know I'm not believing you, right?
That's fine. But I mean, if I...
Because it's like me saying I'm not into the Aggie game, but if they would have rolled up LSU, I'd have been like...
I was pulling for him, but yeah, that's one thing we got to get to talk to. Having not done a show since last Wednesday, so many things have gone on. We got coaching changes to talk about in the collegiate ranks. We've got lots of people changing destinations, possible others getting ready to change destinations. We got a coaching vacancy at Rice. Lots of things to get to. An NFL to get to.
I would like to share with you guys something I made over the holiday weekend that I think the listeners would be interested in as well.
Is this your homemade sausage?
No, yeah, I came up with the idea of chicken fried bacon wrapped sausage, and I'm going to share with everyone how I did it and what was good. And also, I made chicken fried bacon. So
you are the master of sausage.
I got
to bring you bacon and sausage together.
This guy.
Your meat is all ready to be talked about.
This guy,
you knew he was going to say that when you said you made sausage.
You just can't wait to get my
Twitter.
Meat in your mouth.
I was like, Barry's at home making sausage.
Mm. It's sausage. Grow up, Joel.
It's never going to happen if it hasn't happened by now. All right, we've got plenty more to get to. We told you we got a full slate. Charlie Palillo's scheduled to join us at 1:30 up until 2 as well. But if you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. That is the hotline number, the HR&P listener line. You can call, you can text, or you can hit us on Twitter where it's at Barry is funny, at the producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We'll be back with more of the Usual Suspects in just minutes right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Usual Suspects till 4, taking you into Fred AJ and the Blitz. That's the way we do it, as we have the premier lineup in sports radio in Houston, Texas. Lance got his first show under his belt this morning.
Yeah, how did it go? I didn't get up that early. Did everybody listen?
Well, he was telling me about the segment that he does, Rivers on a Mobile.
He did Philip Rivers on a Mobile.
Oh, I wanted to hear that, but I missed that. Yeah,
I bet it was good. Anything on a mobile from Lance is usually pretty spot on.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
So you listened to your... Well, yeah, you got to get up early with the kid.
Yeah, I was up
huh?
early, and then I was taking Taylor to school, so I turned it on in the car, and it was...
Was it like it old times?
It really was.
But they didn't skip a beat, huh?
No, and John was having fun with the questions. He threw it, you know, to Rivers on a mobile, and it was really good stuff.
I was worried that it was going to take us some time to get that chemistry back. You know what I mean?
And, that's the thing I was wondering, because you were talking about that, too, about sometimes you can't go back again and bring some of that stuff back.
Right.
So it's like there's still got to be that kind of sorting out period.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of people that are like, yeah, John and Lance are back together, double rods. And it's like, no, that's not that anymore. You know, that's a different era. I get the nostalgia of that. But this isn't even 1560. It's ESPN 97.5. Is it David Gals? Yes, but it's not the same. I mean, we're more corporate. Double rods was the anti-establishment. But whatever it is that they bring this time around, there's no doubt that the magic that they had and the chemistry that they had can be found again. But I don't think people should try to force like double rods on them. Maybe they don't want to be that anymore, you know?
Or maybe they want it. And again, it's already had its time in the sunshine. It's already had that. Believe me, they're talented enough. They're
I was
going to
say, whatever it is that they figure out, it's going to be magical.
Yeah,
there's no doubt. Like I said it a million times, and I'll say it again just because today was their first day. They are the reason that I wanted to take this job and do this job. They're the reason that I started really getting into sports talk radio as a listener and loving it every day. And it made me want to do this for a living. So there's no doubt that getting them back together and sharing a station with them, it's pretty cool for me because I was a 1560 listener. I won a mug award for goodness sake. I go way back with 1560. I remember when it first started. I remember when they left 610. So it's really cool for me to be here and be on this side of it now too.
Yeah. So. They weren't that for me. The Rocket screwing me over is the reason why I had this job. So I just want to let you know that.
You wouldn't be here if okay. I know we got to do something else, but I'm curious now.
Of course you are.
If the Pelicans came by and were like, Joel, we want you to be the director of broadcasting for the Pelicans. Would you bail on me and Nick?
No, not anymore.
Lie!
No, because I got a family that's here.
Right?
Well, Lisa in Houston, could... I actually love doing this, and it's a lot, and we're growing it, obviously, and we've actually...
I'm growing on you, aren't I? You're starting to like me a little bit.
Definitely
you're not liking me at all?
No,
not even a little bit?
Like is a strong word.
Okay.
But overall, I mean, we
enjoyably tolerating me?
No? The listeners are growing with it, so it's fun. And now when you see that we've got two FM stations and we got all this coming, and they're starting to bring more and more resources to the table, it's fun.
What if Lisa got a job in L.A., though? What if that would be difficult, right? Like if the big L.A. ABC or CBS affiliate was like, hey, we want you to be our 6 o'clock news anchor.
Yeah, I mean...
You're gone, huh?
Well, no. I mean, then we got to figure out... We're going to commute for a while anyway. But, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes into that where...
You two media moguls, man. That's got to be weird that it could...
There are times, too, when she would love to just walk away from TV, too.
Really?
You think about all the makeup time and the wardrobe and everything you say and do.
I don't believe she does a lot of makeup time. She's too good looking to have to go through a ton of makeup.
The thing is, it's like a lot of stations provide...
Like Dave Ward.
Like you show up half asleep, and like at the Today Show or a lot of the stations in the market, you show up and they do the makeup for you.
Yeah.
She's up an hour more earlier than everybody else because she has to do her own wardrobe and makeup and get her own clothes and do stuff. Like some people have clothing deals and makeup deals. It's all on her.
Oh, see. I could see Dave Ward having to spend 2 hours getting his face made up, but not her, not Lisa.
No, but still, I mean, she definitely wants to make sure it's like, no flaws.
Right. Oh, yeah. I would be the same way. I mean, look at this beard. This beard is perfect.
It's perfectly...
it's perfectly flawed.
Out of order. You literally on the side from your sideburn
have
a path that goes from your sideburn and then
have a sideburn. That's just it. When I went and got my haircut when I first started this, Jason shaved it about a week in, so my sideburns have never caught up with the rest of my facial. So I have this gap. It's almost like the Panama Canal between my hair and my beard.
Your left cheek has a big bald spot.
On his right cheek, there's a bald spot. It's like he branded his face or something, and he can't grow.
You know, like deer tracks in snow? You got deer tracks going around the bald spot till it leads into what looks like it could be the goatee.
Now, the goatee, don't jack with the goatee. The goatee is looking good.
No, until you get to the chin music.
It's just hairy. It's just not... The goatee is fine.
Your cheeks are a lot of deer tracks.
In fact, I had to shave the mustache because it gets so thick compared to everything else. I just trimmed it down.
That doesn't count. You can't do that. It's Movember. You can't do that.
Just to make it match.
Nope.
It was way longer than the rest of it.
So you gave up like we did.
I look like I gave up?
Yeah.
Listen, Dickweed, let me tell you something. I'm the I'm walking around looking like this, like an a-hole, for you to tell me that I'm not keeping my word. Look at this face and tell me that I didn't keep my word. This is the stupidest looking face, with or without the
you
beard.
You asked a question that I can answer. I think you do look like you gave up. Because I think if you were standing on a feeder road with a
you
sign
give
right
me a
now,
dollar?
Someone would roll down their window and go, I can't believe you gave up, Barry.
My beard gave up a long time ago. It's the saddest. I've seen people that would have never made fun of me to my face, and they're just like, dude, what's going on?
Here, Barry, here's a five. And like, if you just want to spend it on alcohol,
Andy
you
Huggins
can,
turned
you look
on me.
Like you gave up.
Of all people, Andy Huggins was like, yeah, you shouldn't have made that bet. I see why you don't grow a beard out. That's terrible. Like, terrible is the word he used to describe it. And there's no better word. So, yeah, I
just didn't think middle aged lesbians gave up. But now, between.
Oh, it's the hat now?
The
because
hat
I wore a hat
and
the beard.
And the deer tracks on the cheeks. I mean, you could stand like out on the feeder road. You might get a second income.
I look like a softball coach. Hey, girls, run some laps or something. I don't know.
Hit the showers. Yeah. I'm coming. No, never
Hit
mind.
The showers and flop out a lawn chair. What are you doing? I'm just making sure you get clean. I don't know.
Calm down,
you
Sandusky.
Missed a spot. Get back in there.
Yeah, this is really sad. I cannot wait for this show to end November 30th. I am going straight home and shaving everything off. Just, I can't wait. Although, this patch on the right, this crop circle,
yeah,
it's all peach fuzz. So I think once I shave it, it'll grow back and fill in. Then I'll only have two holes left. Okay, that didn't sound right.
Keep yeah. hope alive.
I'd only have two holes left to fill. Yeah. That's not what I was going for right
alive.
There.
It's too late.
Yeah, it's just a damn mess. It really is. And what better way to see it than to come out to Cowboys and Indians tonight and make fun of it? Take pictures with my beard. That's going to be fun. All the listeners out there just giving me hell for an entire football game. Can't wait for that. Yay! Oh, yay! I'm sad this segment turned into about my beard. You guys have...
You still got to talk about your sausage.
All right, I'll
so
do that next.
So it's all about you today. It's your beard, your sausage, you know, your middle-aged lesbian. I mean,
hit the showers,
next.
Joel.
Yeah, whatever's next.
Maybe we'll talk about the sausage of the...
with Charlie?
2 o'clock. Yeah, let's do
you
that.
You want to talk sausage
let's
with Charlie?
Let's talk sausage.
That'll be great.
Coming up, Sausage Talk with Charlie. That's a new segment on the show.
I'm not doing that. All right, Palillo's next. We're going to keep rolling along. And then, of course, we've got more stuff to get to. And after Charlie goes up until 2 o'clock, we'll get into more things, sportsy and otherwise, including Summerlin out. Is Jimbo Fisher in? Greg Schiano's in. Now he's out at Tennessee. And so much more on the college coaching front, as well as a week of NFL. And lots more to get to, including the Rockets tonight against the Nets. Don't go anywhere. Much more of the usual suspects rolling along right here on ESPN 97.5.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects, half hour into the 3-hour extravaganza, and like we do on Mondays and Fridays, the person of interest that joins us from 1:30 to 2 o'clock is none other than Charlie Palillo. He's on Sports Map 94.1 daily from, what, 11 to 1?
Most dailies.
Yeah. And we're lucky enough to have him on Mondays and Fridays. Now, we haven't talked to you since last Monday, so how was the Thanksgiving holiday and all of that?
Filling. I don't conduct a daily weigh-in, as apparently Barry does.
Yes, he does.
We were talking off air that I've gained. I was started at 188 Thursday morning. I weighed in this morning at 191.
So you were you said you were going to come in at 191.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Charlie said he gained weight for one day.
Well, I played a little touch football on Thursday and then 19 innings of softball yesterday. Two extra inning games.
Wow.
The drama was compelling.
Wow.
Wow. Okay.
Now, are you a cook-your-own Thanksgiving deal or go somewhere?
I prefer to supervise and eat.
Okay.
Do you have a lot of family down here or are they all back east?
All back east.
So you went home?
Nope.
Oh.
I said, I'll see you at Christmas.
Nice.
Gotta go. Second helping's time.
Okay. Okay. I like it.
Big, more on the meal or the desserts?
Oh, when you have a second kid, which one do you think you'll love more?
Oh, the first one.
The first.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Or the boy, whichever one that is.
Well, if it's a boy, then yeah, then all bets are off. Yeah.
I'm going to answer it this way. If it was one or the other on Thanksgiving, it would be the meal.
Yep.
Turkey's relatively inexpensive.
Overrated.
It's very
well, I don't know about overrated.
How is it rated? My point was going to be that how come nobody ever makes turkey the rest of the year? It's easy. You throw it in the oven for however many hours, and you're done.
You know I'm domesticated.
It's pretty
when I'm
cheap.
Going through the grocery store post-Thanksgiving, and I'm thinking, I could probably get a couple turkeys cheap, and you could make it, and the leftover factor for everything
right.
from sandwiches to putting on salad, whatever, you got it.
It's kind of a dry meat, but you don't just eat it by itself. This is what stuffing and cranberry sauce and sweet potatoes
well, who wants to eat that all year? That's what makes it
well,
so special
year,
is that you have
two,
it once
months?
A year. No.
But you hit on why I would take the dinner, because I can have cakes and pies. They're on the radar year-round.
Right.
A big turkey dinner. Thanksgiving's basically the only time of the year I
so
eat.
So you don't do yeah. that again for Christmas? Because a lot of families will do, like ours will, same thing. It'll be
yeah,
almost a Thanksgiving dinner again on
now,
Christmas
and
or similar.
It depends on, like, Easter, here. Right?
Really?
Here,
yeah, we don't do that.
You can do steaks on holidays,
Easter.
Which is weird to me. Because in the Midwest, it was – my sister and I were talking about this weekend. It could be turkey for – straight turkey for Thanksgiving. But, like, for Easter, it was ham and turkey. For Christmas, it was, you know, you could do something else and ham and or turkey. We mixed in a lot of different things. But you're right. I mean, it seems like the only full, true, blown-out turkey meal is just Thanksgiving. Otherwise, it's ham and roast beef or something like that.
Yeah, and you eat a turkey sandwich.
Right. I'm
there
big on those.
The year. But the actual turkey, and it's easy. You throw it in the oven, and you're done.
Well, and Lisa's dad is like a vegetarian, but there are certain things that get him. So he's not a true vegetarian. But he was like, "Oh, I got to have some turkey sandwich." The leftovers
vegetarian
make
of
it into
convenience.
Yeah, pretty much. Now Lisa's a vegan, but her dad just doesn't normally. He doesn't eat beef and meat. But he even said, "He goes, man, leftover turkey sandwiches. That's." The way to go. He goes,
with
I got to have a couple of those.
And the cranberry sauce on the sandwich.
No,
that
sir.
That is the sandwich.
Cranberry
no,
sauce?
Yes.
You're a big...
It moistens it up a little bit.
I go with cheese to get it moistened a little bit.
I'm not a turkey and cheese sandwich, but that would not be my choice.
Okay. That's
no?
fine. That's
I
all.
Do turkey, lettuce, tomatoes, onions, and a little honey mustard.
Yeah, like you can do
thing.
It Subway any Thursday
yeah, but
of the
it's better
year.
Turkey.
Do you ever come up with your own, like... Because I came up with an idea of having chicken fried bacon wrapped sausage, and I made it. Yeah.
Sounds
2 days
complex.
Ago. Yeah, I made it a couple
so
days
my
ago.
My answer is no.
So you don't do stuff like that, like try to get all crazy with it? You're not a foodie, are you?
Look, pound for pound, I can eat well above my weight class.
Okay.
And I will try almost anything once, but not the cooking part of it so much.
No?
So you're making sausage, though. Are you grinding everything from the rooter to the tooter? Or are you just and putting it in the casing and all that? Or
get
are you just
here.
Experimenting with it?
What the hell would I do that for?
Because you said you made sausage. That's how you make sausage.
No, I said I came up with the idea of making chicken fried bacon wrapped sausage.
And then you tweeted that you were going to try to make it and let you know how it goes.
Yeah, and I didn't make the sausage. You go and buy, I went and bought Slavicek sausage and Chapel Hill sausage and bacon and wrapped the sausage in bacon and deep fried it.
Now you're talking about overrated
no.
bacon.
No, whoa, you hush your mouth.
Do I have to leave the studio now?
He's never allowed on the show again. What? Bacon
you know
is overrated?
We,
conflict
know that,
drama makes entertainment.
Okay.
Do you know yeah. we had a listener last week that sent us pictures that they do an apple pie. You know how you crisscross the dough on the top?
Bacon?
They did bacon.
Mm.
That seems excessive to me. And I don't know how good it would taste. What do you top that with a la mode with vanilla ice cream, or do you top that with cheese?
Bacon-flavored ice cream I've had.
Really?
Really?
That doesn't sound good.
Just as
yeah.
That's
like
Iron
the bacon flavored
when I put
soda.
A tuna fish in a thing. And,
yeah, no, I'm
no,
not
thank
that.
You.
Yeah.
Who's the next Aggie coach, Charlie?
For $7.5 million per year, sounds like Jimbo Fisher.
That, I said that, and a lot of people told me I was dumb. That he wasn't. He was all but headed to LSU,
matter?
Or yeah, it's related. Well, no, I mean I get a lot of that too, but yeah, it looked like he was had a deal with LSU, right? And then all of a sudden. Here comes A&M getting it in under the wire.
So here's the deal with Jimbo. Obviously, Travis Johnson, amongst others, played at Florida State. I know, and he has a lot of Florida State friends, too. And I was talking to a lot of these guys over the last day to try to figure out what's going on over there.
The sun factor?
And they just said quite simply, and they were cursed by it, to some degree by Bobby Bowden, because he got to the point where he didn't want raises. He didn't want them to have to go through the red tape to try and get everything approved. But his biggest thing was, besides the raises, was he wanted a coach's pool for his assistants. And he also wanted standalone facilities only for the football team, which they don't have at Florida State, which is huge in recruiting these days. And now the state just feels like, and the Board of Regents feels like they don't need it, so they're not going to give it to him. So one of the big draws for him to go somewhere else is, yes, he'll get more money for himself, but he'll have that coaches pool. If he goes to A&M, he'll have some of the best facilities in the country. And yes, it's the SEC, but if he has those kind of things, he brings the coaches that he believes in with him, and he's an experienced winner, he can turn that thing around and get them to be competitive every year.
And for anyone who wants to bag on College Station, Tallahassee is not South Beach.
Correct.
No.
That's North Florida. It's not Valhalla. And it's always nice to have your ass kissed, and it's $7.5 million per year. And I thought you were going. He has a son with an ongoing life-threatening illness, and apparently he's gotten regular treatment in Houston. So if you're so close to one of the world's great medical center facilities. And it's been a phenomenal run, and I think this year's a hiccup. I don't think it means that Florida State is in trouble. But if we're in a window here of 3 to 5, 7 years where Clemson actually is the IT program over Florida State, get while the getting is good, and they're throwing $37.5 million. So the Aggies would be into almost $13 million a head coach next year, right?
Because they got to pay some.
Paying off Sumlin. But Jimbo Fisher would be no guarantee of greatness. It's not as if he's been Jimbo Fix-It, that he's gone 3-4 different places and built it up. And inevitably, you know, Urban Meyer, Bowling Green, Utah, Florida, Ohio State. Jimbo Fisher, one place where he didn't exactly now, Florida State had declined. It had started losing 4 games per year under Bowden. And not discrediting what he has accomplished here, but I don't think it's automatic that he elevates Texas A&M right away to where Nick Saban's thinking, I better retire. I can't handle this.
Yeah, I mean, the thing to me, too, and someone we're
A&M
talking
is
about
not it. A fundamentally better job than Alabama when it has a Nick Saban, when it has a Mike Dubose or whichever flunky Shula son they had over there. But A&M is not a fundamentally better job than LSU. Everyone else in the SEC, I think over a long period of time, obviously A&M should be better than the Mississippi schools. It should be better than Arkansas. And I lean that it should be better over Auburn. I don't mean year in, year out, but over a longer time horizon.
Why do you say A&M's not better than LSU? Is that purely from a recruiting standpoint?
Yes. That's just a head-to-head.
That LSU's the only school in that state which per capita produces every bit the talent that Texas does, that Florida does. Whereas in the state of Texas, obviously you have the Longhorns and then the secondary schools. Well, TCU is the best school in the state right now. But U of H will steal an Ed Oliver here and there, in addition to all the national programs.
Well, I don't know if they're doing that anymore now that Herman left. I mean, it was easier to do that when you had a coach like Herman. For me, for the Aggies, my order went, I would have loved to have seen them gone out and gotten Dan Mullen first, then Jimbo Fisher. I had Chip Kelly in there, and then Scott Frost. And that was kind of the pecking order of how I thought, if you can't get the first one, go to the second one, go to the third one. Chip Kelly came off the board early, so I was hoping Mullen. Didn't see that happen. So now it's between Fisher and Frost. What I like about Jimbo Fisher that he brings to the Aggies is, you know, the Aggies can recruit in Texas, but one of those rich states with a lot of football products is Florida.
Yeah, you're right.
And now he's got an advantage because he can go and recruit in Florida, like he's been doing, which enhances the Aggie program. So,
and his LSU history.
Exactly. So now he's basically the entire South he can recruit in for this Aggie team. And I think that's a big advantage when you're trying to get this team to be and stay competitive in the SEC.
If we accept that Nick Saban and Urban Meyer would have no interest in the A&M job, I don't think they could do any better than hiring Jimbo Fisher. He's a national championship winning coach who's only in his early 50s, I think. But that it's a slam dunk, no, it is not. Kevin Sumlin was supposed to be that, and other than the coattails of Johnny Manziel the first year, 5 years where they never broke 500 in a conference.
Right.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Turnaround Tom Herman, year one in Texas with 17 returning starters. Not so much.
Is this a top 10 job?
No.
In the country? Yeah.
A&M?
Yeah.
No.
You don't think so? Oh, I think you're underestimating A&M.
I think it is.
The facilities, the recruiting class. Yeah.
10 is tough.
Name nine places that somebody like Jimbo Fisher would rather go. I mean, yes, Alabama, Ohio State.
Florida.
Florida.
Michigan.
You think he would choose Florida over A&M?
Well, it's the quality of life thing, but the competition.
But I'm saying
that
the recruiting bet.
And A&M has less history, actually, to sell than it thinks
it has.
Do you
put Clemson in that top 10 now?
Under Dabo Swinney, but I don't think that inevitably and forever that's a top 10 program.
Say.
But right now, it's the clear ranking program in that state, in that region, over South Carolina. Obviously, mm-hmm. a small state recruiting base, but you're right there with Georgia, which is teeming with talent, and you recruit Florida heavily and more successfully at Clemson than you're going to be able to at Texas A&M.
Do you put all three
Southern
Florida
Cal,
schools in that? See, here's the thing about Southern Cal and
Miami,
UCLA. Even Chip Kelly going to UCLA, very prestigious
UCLA,
university
no.
and campus and everything, but the facilities and everything else, it's a different...
It's a much lower pressure
yes.
gig than the land of Gingham.
Yeah.
And I think that's
They're
why Chip Kelly went to UCLA
USC.
As opposed to Florida.
Well, not only that, but he can recruit in the Pac-10 and all along the West Coast a lot better than he would
Penn
be able
State's
to any,
a better job
anywhere
than
else.
Texas A&M.
I would buy that. Yeah, Notre Dame.
Notre Dame for sure.
I'm saying the 10 is a very, very high bar.
Okay.
Chip Kelly
for a program
that
historically, in the history of college football, Texas A&M is not a top 30 program.
Chip Kelly did that because he got paid well, but at the same time, he knows the Pacific Northwest. He knows the conference.
Right.
He knows the recruiting trails. It's all comfortability. He's comfortable there, and he can kind of relax. You're right, because there's not the high pressure that there is at A&M or some of these other schools that you have to win now and win and compete for a national championship.
Yeah.
So... All right, we'll continue the discussion. Charlie's going to be here till 2 o'clock, so we'll continue to roll on. But I know there's a big event going on tonight for Monday Night Football at a place in Midtown that we all frequent. And Barry,
yeah, man, I want to recruit you guys listening out there to come join me tonight for a watch party at Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. First of all, let's get the address out of the way: 1901 Taft in Midtown. So it's not out of the way. You swing by, you pop in, we'll watch the game, we'll have a beer, we'll eat some delicious food, have a good. I mean, you might as well get out and enjoy it, anyways. It's not like you're going to sit at home by yourself crying watching this terrible team. Get out and enjoy it a little bit. So come hang out with me. Make fun of my beard. Let's have a beer. Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen, 1901 Taft in Midtown. You're going to love the food while you're there. That's a great incentive by itself to come out and enjoy the Himalayan Heat Burger. One of the best burgers in Houston, hands down. Wing sliders. Yes, they have all the standard football fare. They also have chicken curry, chicken fried steak. Joel's favorite, the quesadilla, is made with naan bread. They've got it all for you, plus the best buttered chicken in Houston. So why don't you join me tonight, 1901 Taft in Midtown. It's Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. And okay, you don't want to hang out with me, that's fine, but you want to still eat the food, you can have it delivered to the house via DoorDash, Uber Eats, or Grubhub, your choice. And if you can't make it tonight, but you still want to go out and have a lunch special, do that, because from 11 to 3 every day, Monday through Friday, you can get a half-pound classic natural burger with fries for $8.99. Outstanding deal. Just go in and tell them you listen to ESPN 97.5 to get that lunch special. It's Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. It's going down tonight. Meet me there. Let's watch the Texans game together. It's 1901 Taft in Midtown. Come with me. Let's take our taste buds on a delicious journey around the world with Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. There's nothing like it. We'll see you tonight.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Usual Suspects, back with hour number one of the three-hour program as we have Charlie till 2 o'clock. That's Charlie Palillo for those of you that are just completely oblivious to what
Dumb.
Is good in Houston sports. As we continue to roll on, Barry, Nick, and I are here, and we were talking a little bit about the college carousel that continues to turn, even though the season's not even over yet, and some of the possible changes. Kevin Sumlin out at A&M. Rumor is Jimbo Fisher could be in. We also started then to kind of rotate it into the top 10 most attractive jobs in the country. I thought A&M, I think Barry, you and I were both on the same page, A&M would be in
that
top 10.
I would have been. So here's a list somebody sent, and I don't know how you guys feel about this. USC, Texas, Florida, Bama, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Michigan, LSU, Oklahoma, Oregon.
Oregon purely on the back of Nike
Phil
money?
Knight.
Nah,
Phil Knight
I don't
alone.
Think Oregon would make that. I don't think that
There's
would
no
be a
way.
Top 10. I don't know that
he omitted
USC.
LSU?
Huh?
That list omitted LSU?
No, it has
no,
LSU.
It's on there.
Georgia?
Not on the list. USC is. I don't know if USC
SC
is a
from
top.
And it would be interesting to get Salisbury's opinion
Penn
on that,
State?
Too.
Not on the list.
from a facility standpoint, I don't put SC up there.
Yeah, I don't put SC. I don't know that I would put Florida on there. Maybe I'm just crazy.
You got to play, and I know you fill it up, but you got to play in the Coliseum.
Yeah. SC has its heritage, and it's Southern California. But so much of it, it becomes turnkey. If you have the right coach and you get the mojo going, because USC has had lengthy stretches. Right? The Lane Kiffin era was not glory-filled.
No.
Really, post-John Robinson, they had stretches. Larry Smith and, he wore glasses. He was an offensive coordinator, and he failed spectacularly. If your recruiting falls off and you're in a power conference where you have a couple of other schools that can jump into the breach. I mean, until Steve Spurrier got to Florida, Florida had never won a conference championship. And what happened to Florida when Ron Zook was in charge? Mm-hmm. Certainly Florida didn't matter. You know, Will Muschamp.
Well, he's a great special teams coach now.
In terms of the fundamentals, I would put A&M in the range of the top 10, but off about a century of data and currently where they are in the landscape.
Yeah.
It's not a top 10 job.
I think I would, if you swapped out Oregon for Penn State just on that list alone, I would probably buy that list of 10
Oregon
better than.
Is up there.
But
Barry, you got to understand the same way that we were talking about, like, you know, having facilities of your own, you don't have to share. One of the big knocks with Jimbo, too, is he shares his facilities with the baseball team, the basketball team, all the other sports. But at the same time, the Phil Knight factor, the Nike
factor.
As
it should be, by the way, as part of a university, an institution of higher learning, as opposed to quarantining yourself from the rest of the campus.
U of H just did it. I went to the U of H game Saturday. I mean, they just built their own football-only facility.
It's the arms race. And, you know,
and so to compete from a recruiting standpoint, and the uniforms, don't sleep on it. All the Nike factor.
Oh, yeah,
Nike,
that has a lot to do with it. But what I'm saying from a jobs perspective.
See that garbage
Ohio State from a head coaching job perspective. A&M, I think, would rank because of the recruiting bed that you have as opposed to recruiting from Oregon. And you have the facilities and the money, and they're starting to do more with their uniforms, plus the tradition of the 12th man and all that that gets you hyped, and the stadium's always packed. And I don't know. I just feel like that might, you know, somebody called me a homer on the text line, which I think is hilarious, because if anyone has never been a homer for A&M, it's me. So I think you need to evaluate yourself,
A&M
sir.
Is a basketball school, just like UT.
You stop that. Yeah, although they could end up being a top 10 basketball program this year. They've got the skills.
Last night, the Aggies.
DJ Hogue is legit.
UT let Duke off
Davis,
the hook
Robert
the other
Williams.
Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, Texas blew the Duke game and then lost another overtime game to Gonzaga. They're way better at basketball than they are at football, both of them.
This is a football state. I mean, a basketball state. My bad.
Should be a rocket state right now. State of excellence.
I don't know. When you have to come back against the Knicks, is that a state?
Well, no Porzingis. They spot him a 29-7 lead.
22-point lead in the first quarter. They were down.
Then the rest of the game is 110-73. They're destroying people.
They are doing that, and they're doing a lot of it with just Chris Paul just getting back into the comfortability of being in the starting lineup and everything that he's doing. I give them all the credit in the world. They just got to, at some point from a defensive perspective, they're going to have to figure out when they get everybody healthy, that kind of that lineup of death I was talking about from a defensive perspective, when they can put P.J. Tucker and Mbamute and a guy like Capella along with a Chris Paul and Trevor Ariza, and you can just go out and flat out suffocate people a little bit more defensively. But offensively, look, you can't complain with the way they're scoring points and what they're doing. The other night, though, was one of those games of the old Rockets eras where you were going, yeah, that's typical Rockets. Porzingis sits, Cantor sits, and they're going to go down 20 and lose that game. But they came back and won.
Yeah, it was almost a little Paul Westhead Denver Nuggets. You score your little twos, and we'll just come down and make threes.
Now, it's going to be interesting tonight because there's only one team close to them in terms of shooting threes game by game. Number two, believe it or not, the Brooklyn Nets, and they're going to jack up some threes too. So that should be, if you like scoring points and a lot of three-point shooting, you're going to love the game tonight.
I hope the Nets shoot phenomenally tonight because they're playing at the fastest pace. So they're shooting threes. I mean, they don't have any good players. They're just Jeremy Lin's out for the year. So they're just up and down, up and down, keep shooting threes. So I hope they shoot out of their minds tonight, which forces the Rockets to play four quarters, keep up. And this could be the night James Harden scores 100.
He could break Calvin Murphy's record.
Okay, 58.
58.
I was going to say 100. That's probably not too far off as well as the Nets play defense, though. Not a good defensive basketball team.
If the Nets are shooting well, if the Rockets aren't engaged, it could be 159 to 136.
Nick, you'd rather go to that than come to Cowboys and Indians?
I like the Rockets games, but
Nick, don't let them guilt you into anything.
How early do you start? But an offensive game will be over by 9:30.
What are you talking about?
Cowboys and Indians. You can go to the Rockets.
We're watching the Texans game.
I told him exactly that.
It's a watch party. The watch party? What are you doing?
I'm not the event. They can't put Rockets Nets on a screen? It's a football party only? What about the Syracuse-Maryland game tonight?
I'm sure they'll do that.
No one in this town wants to watch the Syracuse-Maryland game.
I know one guy.
Actually, I know a bunch of sports talk radio guys at other stations and one guy.
Yeah, it's probably true. Well, at least there's something to watch.
Is there some
tonight?
Sort of Syracuse bar where y'all all go and watch shows?
If so, I would not freak out.
Oh, okay. You wouldn't go there?
No. I'm still trying to figure out which USC sports coaches think they know everything.
I don't do that.
You got enough of that in your own head, let alone household. I'm trying to think of the USC coach you were trying to think of. It wasn't John Robinson. McKay?
That's the greatest college coach ever there, John
Pete
McKay.
Pete Carroll?
No. I'm going to have to look this up off the air.
Okay. All right, if we get it, we'll give it to you.
I'm looking at a list, Charlie. That's not on here. Yeah, it goes Robinson, Tolner, Smith, Robinson, Hackett, Carroll.
Not at C.
Paul Kiffin, Hackett. Ogeron, Clay Helton, Sarkisian, Helton.
I'm probably thinking of Paul Hackett.
Paul Hackett.
Okay.
Emphasis on Hack as a head coach.
All right, well, that's Charlie Polillo. As we mentioned, you can catch him on SportsMap 94.1 FM 11-1 every single day. It's our sister station. We also can be looking forward to seeing him again here on Friday afternoon as 1:30 to 2 o'clock is his slot Mondays and Fridays on The Usual Suspects. So we're going to continue to roll on with the show, but at the same time, we want to make sure that you know Charlie is a part of the family. He's part of this side as well as the other side, and that's how we do business around here at Gal Media.
Today.
There you go.
Sponsored as a segment. Roof MD and General Contracting Company with deep roots in Houston. Mark Donaldson actually is the MD in Roof MD, lifelong Houstonian, and takes personal pride in being as educated a roofer and general contractor as you can find in Houston. He does work for friends and neighbors, will treat you the same way. No job too big, no job too small. Free roof inspection, no commitment or obligation, just for the asking. And if it turns out your roof needs work, whether you know it or learn it, great financing options, zero down for 12 and 18-month plans or low interest, low monthly payment plans as well. They also do drywall repair, chimney repair, insulation, fencing, painting, gutters, window replacement. Of course, the anchor of what they do is roofing. Free inspection just by calling 832-967-ROOF and mentioning you heard it here. 832-967-ROOF. Prescription needed for a healthy roof. Think Mark and his team at Roof MD and General Contracting, and mention you heard it here on ESPN 97.5.
There you go. Charlie there. Charlie every day, Monday through Friday on Sports Map, 94.1 FM, 11-1. And, of course, we'll be back with much more of The Usual Suspects, and we'll open up hour number two in just mere minutes right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.